Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start sharing off this morning, Brian, do you want to share?
Yes, thank you very much, Steve. My name is Brian and I'm an alcoholic. I'm real privileged to be here today. I'm real privileged to be clean. I'm real privileged to be sober. When I first came into AA, was just over 2 years ago. That's not to say I'm 2 years sober. I'm counting days, and I am 323 days, and each day means so much to me. When I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I sat down in a room and I sat there and I listened to people share, and the whole range of people from like one day sober all the way up to like 28 years sober, and I was amazed. I could see hope. I was amazed that people were sober. I was amazed that people were happy to be sober. Everyone was sharing, and I've never heard such honesty before in my life. And so when I first got to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and sat down, I felt like I belonged. And the funny thing about that was when I was a young fella, I never felt like I belonged. When I was growing up, when I was in primary school, even when I was in my own family home, as young as I can remember, I never felt like I belonged. I never felt like I belonged to my own skin and my own family. I just never fitted in. I always felt different. I always had, we call it in Alcoholics Anonymous, the hole in the soul. And I was looking for something to fill that up. And when I found alcohol, that filled up this hole in the soul temporarily. You know, it gave me temporary relief from myself. And that didn't lasted, but it ran out. You know, it stopped working. Alcohol stopped working. Like in the beginning, it was fun. It was adventurous. You know, I was doing stuff I shouldn't be doing, and for a young fella, that's all I wanted to do, you know. But as I said just before, it stopped working. It stopped working, but unfortunately for me, I did not know how to stop using it. I relied on it on a daily basis, and that was for years and years and years, and my life became so unmanageable. It was just crazy. It was like I would hang around my friends and I'd watch people, and they would have like one or two drinks because they enjoyed the taste of it and they enjoyed to be sociable. I could never understand what's the point in having one drink. That was never made sense. None of it made sense. Sometimes I'll be drinking it and I wouldn't even like the taste of alcohol. I didn't even want to get drunk, but when you've been drinking for so long and you've got this hole in your soul and you just don't know how to fill it, that's all I knew what to do. So when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous 2 years ago and saw that people were actually living a life sober, I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had. Oh, I was scared, man. I was scared. I did not know how to live life sober. I did not know how to celebrate anything sober. I did not know how to communicate sober. I didn't even know what to talk about being sober. I just did not know. So I had this old-timer in the rooms, and they said when they first shared that if you knew, you know, what you want to do is you just want to sit down in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and you just want to listen to the advice that people give. And that's what I did. I sat down, I listened, I heard the hope, I heard their experience. And as I said, I wanted what they had. And the only way I could get what they had was by listening to what they did. And they read there's heaps of literature in AA, like they got the big book, reading that, working through the steps. I'm on step four at the moment, and the steps, there's 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and so far achieving 3 steps, I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders already. I feel like I can now, I feel like I know more about myself. I can forgive myself a lot easier. Because I was my worst critic when I was growing up. You know, you didn't need to hassle me, man, because I hassled myself every day so freely. So I was my worst critic. And working these steps of forgiveness and relying on a power greater than myself and coming to believe in this and turning my will over, well, I can't wait now. I'm working step four, and that's I'm owning the stuff that I've done in the past. I'm realizing the resentments I have and what part I took in them. And you know, it's the best thing I've done. And I heard when I first came into these rooms, you can get a life beyond your wildest dreams. And so far, that's exactly what's happening. I celebrated my 41st birthday yesterday, and I was clean and sober for it. I didn't feel the desire to pick up any alcohol whatsoever. What I did do, though, was I hung out with some friends of mine in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to a few meetings, and I shared my experience, strength, and hope, and I listened to how other people did it. And, you know, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, and to be able to be present for my daughter and my grandson is just wonderful. Well, I couldn't ask for much more in my life today, you know, but I need to realize that in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a 24-hour day program, you know. I've got to keep it in today. I can't future trip about tomorrow. I can't future trip about next year. I've got to keep my life in today every day. And if I'm having a bad day today, I've got to realize that good times come, good times go. Bad times come, bad times go. You know, and that's how I live today, you know. That's exactly how I live. If I have a bad time, if I have a bad day, I realize that's going to go. It's okay. Life's going to be okay. I don't need to get drunk today. If I had the desire to pick up alcohol today, I can get to a meeting. I can ring a friend. I can do the next right thing. I can get through. So I'm honored to be here today sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And may I just say that there is faith out there, and just have hope and just try to stay sober today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Aroha. You want to share?
Kia ora, everybody. My name's Aroha and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Aroha.
For my experience, I guess my journey started for me when I was 14, and I spent the majority of my teens in blackout. I was a very heavy drinker and I drank often, and I'm not sure why I was doing that. All I can think is that for me, I wanted to feel connected to my peers, to be out and about, to have fun and to have some confidence in myself. And I drank like that all my life. I'd go through long periods without drinking at all, and then I would always come back to my crutch, which was to release the tensions that were going on for me at any given time, depending on what was going on for me in the situations. And I would drink until I couldn't remember what was going on anymore. I first came into the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous last year when I was 34 years old, and it was around July. I'd lost my job, and for me, that was when I realised that there was something going on and I couldn't manage my day-to-day life anymore. There were a lot of things that happened coming up to that point, but for me, that was, that was when my colleagues and my friends around me were all telling me that I had a problem. What I thought I would do was move town straight away. That was always my answer to everything. I would just get up, pack up and move. I jumped on the internet and I thought, right, I need to get out of here. But where can I go? What can I do? I'd burnt all my bridges. I had nowhere else to go. I thought I really need some help, and I didn't know what to do. I had heard of AA, but I didn't think that that's what I needed. I thought I needed something else. So I Googled rehab centres, and I found one in Auckland. I thought, great, I haven't burnt Auckland. I don't know anyone there. I think that's where I need to go. So I moved from Hawke's Bay to Auckland, and I came to Te Aritu, and I had an assessment for a rehabilitation centre there. They recommended to me to start going to some meetings. I had nowhere to go, so I thought, right, I'll go down to Nelson and I'll go and stay with a friend down there. That's where I found the rooms of AA. I began attending meetings regularly. I went to 3 meetings a week, and I wasn't sure how to share or what to share. Mostly what I was doing was just venting my day-to-day frustrations and the things that were on top for me at that time, about how I was struggling to not be able to pick up. Finally, my day came when I could come back to Auckland and attend rehab, which I really needed. I needed that space for me. I needed that space and that controlled environment, so I didn't run back to my crutch again. I stayed really connected with the fellowship of AA all the way through my rehabilitation. And when I finally graduated earlier this year in January, I maintained those friendships that I had made in the rooms in Auckland. And I continue to go to the same meetings and extra every week. I attend 3 to 4 meetings a week. I'll go to more if I can. I do the suggested things. One of the biggest things for me has been reaching out to fellow female peers. The men stick with men and women stick with women, and we find our comfort in our fellow peers who understand any given situation or event that's going on for us. I have a sponsor as well. She's amazingly strong and she helps me work through the 12 steps. The steps for me have been the biggest release that I could ever know of obsession, my control issues, like my faith in my God and finding hope for my future. I'm currently on step 4, and that's where I'm working through my part and taking ownership of my things that have led to a lot of my resentments and that I have towards others. I'm starting to realise now that my alcoholism has not been because others have put that on me. It's been because of the choices that I've made. One of the biggest things that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is a spirituality. I was always looking for connection with others, connection with myself, connection with a God. And I thought that finding that confidence to be connected in that way was to drink. I now know that what I had was a really big hole inside me. And I feel that now with the fellowship, with meetings, with doing my step work, with being connected with others, with doing service, helping my fellow peers. By giving back to the community in the most humblest way ever, because this is an anonymous program, I've found that self-worth that I've always been lacking in myself. I really appreciate those people that helped me come into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I really appreciate those peers that I first met that helped me feel so welcomed, and I am really grateful to everyone who's in the rooms right now at this moment. I live in a therapeutic community at the moment, in a sober house, and I'm just so grateful that I'm continuing to do the things that have been suggested to me that will help me stay well. I really like the AA community in Auckland. I feel so safe and so connected here. I've really made a new life for me now. I think that my pattern of packing up and moving whenever problems come my way has been arrested. I no longer feel the need to run away from my problems, because the fellowship has shown me that by dealing with our day-to-day things as they come up, by dealing with life on life's terms, I'm given that freedom to express who I am without bottling myself up. So in essence, what has worked for me is following direction. Being a part of the fellowship means handing my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding, my higher power. And for me, that is God. I've gained an amazing relationship with him, a very personal one. So on a daily basis, I hand my will and my life over to him. I let him make the decisions for me now, and that's been a blessing in disguise. So my suggestion to others out there is to follow the suggested things, to do what those who are that you see are living a great life in recovery, to take on board some of the feedback that they may have for you. The suggested things that I followed were things simple as staying behind after a meeting, doing the dishes, talking to fellow peers, getting numbers from the female members of the fellowship, going out for coffee afterwards if you're invited, or just go along if you want to go. Even if you don't want to go, do opposite action, do the next right thing. Pick up step book, or pick up the big book and do the steps. Get a sponsor. One of the for me, one of the things I'm doing right now is studying the big book, and I really enjoy that. There's so much wisdom in those first 10 or 11 chapters. It's really inspiring to hear others' perspective on this. So I have a study group that where we study this, and yeah, I really love it. And just to end my story, I just send out a lot of love to you all. Yeah, reach out and stay connected. Thank you.
Thanks, Araha. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Anna. Do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. Hi, my name is Anna and I'm an alcoholic, but I'm also an addict. I was thinking about how I first came to realise that I was an alcoholic, and that was because my life was falling apart. I was in a very abusive relationship. I was a flight attendant with an airline. I was on maternity leave and I had a 10-month-old child. My family stepped in and said to my psychiatrist, who I'd been seeing for depression for the last 20-odd years, Anna's got a problem with her drinking. And before I knew it, I was on a plane going down to Hamner Springs. And I found that very, very difficult. Suddenly I was, instead of mixing with airline people, I was having very rough criminals coming up to me, and I was just really frightened. But the thing I realised was that alcoholism can affect anybody, and it doesn't discriminate. It was a real eye-opener, and I remember saying to my counsellor down there, I'm not an alcoholic, I just didn't try hard enough to give up alcohol. And he gave me a book to read on addictive thinking, which was the key to opening up the door, because when I went away and read this book on addictive thinking, I realised then the penny dropped. I was an alcoholic. The thinking was the same for me as it was in the book, and I realised that I was an alcoholic. I just hadn't gone down that road as far as the others had. So when I left the hospital, I came back to Auckland and continued my life, but I carried on smoking marijuana and taking anything else that came my way. And within 7 years, and I remember now, I went to my AA meetings in my area, which was suggested, and I looked down on it. It wasn't glamorous enough for me, and I thought, this is all beneath me. So I didn't follow what I'd been taught in rehab, but I used to be having a joint, saying to myself what a wonderful success I had been in AA. Which is just laughable now, but the thing is, I needed to be humbled and I needed to be real. 7 years later, I was once again getting into trouble at work, missing flights, and I self-referred to the airline doctors. I said, I've got a problem with drugs, with party pills. I can't get off them. I've tried through the community of alcohol and drug services, and they put me on a flight to America to a treatment centre there. And this time it was very, very difficult when I got back to New Zealand and living without anything. And I struggled for the first year. I had to do a recovery agreement with the airline, which was attending 90 meetings in 90 days, seeing counsellors, keeping in touch regularly with my psychiatrist. And I felt like I had a lot of help from the airline. And when I came back from America, I found it very, very difficult. I was very lonely because I felt like I'd just broken up with my boyfriend. There was this big hole in my life which I had to fill up. And for 4 months I remained sober, but then I started relapsing over and over again. Some were planned, some weren't. But looking back, I feel like I really was giving it my best effort, but life was tough. And I was just too vulnerable to withstand the painful experiences that life brings, and I kept toppling over. But I did what I was told, which was to continue going to AA meetings, have a sponsor, and it was great, because I don't think I'd be here today if I didn't continue with my AA meetings. It made it easier to get back on the wagon, because I was already connected. And one day, those relapses never stopped. So I think when you look at those 12 steps on the board at meetings, you can't really make sense of them properly. It's a journey. It's like opening up a book and starting to read the pages. You can learn a new job. You can learn how to do a new job, but you have to actually have the experience before it all starts making sense. And even now I get different slants on the steps, different angles, because I guess that's personal growth. But the thing is, with the 12 steps, once the obsession to use is taken away, which for me was a couple of years, it's a blueprint for living a happy life, and it forces you to be honest, take responsibility, be disciplined, and have a connection with the good in life, the kindness, the love. My higher power is actually a mixture of a lot of things. It's the universe, it's the power of the universe, it's love, it's my parents that have since passed away, it's the people in the fellowship that I look for the energy and the strength to remain free of drugs and alcohol. And for me, handing my will and my life over to the care of a higher power, rather than doing, when I stop and think about what I'm doing and I've got the self-awareness, I think, is this good for me, or is this the best thing to do with what's our Creator would have wanted us to do for peace and harmony on this earth and a connection to each other? And sometimes that's hard, and I take my will back all the time, but then I remember to give it back. And if I make a mistake, I make amends. And I'm also very grateful to my higher power and to the fellowship, and I try and remember to be thankful, and have that self-awareness and mindfulness to see where my thinking's going as well, because if my thinking starts going downhill, that's a dangerous place for me to be, and I have to get out of myself and not isolate and be around other people and connect again. I have the most wonderful life now. Sobriety opened up a whole lot of new doors. That didn't include flying anymore, but I've been to university and qualified, and I'm also now working at a rehab for alcoholics and addicts. I think I've got a real gift for helping people, because I remember very, very clearly what it was like for me at the beginning, and I try and keep things right at grassroots level, very basic, and give them tips on what I should have done that I can look back on now, but give them lots of love and care and empathy, and I feel that that's my purpose in life. That's what I'm here for. That's why I've been through everything I've been through, is because I can help others. And I want to inspire people to come into recovery, because I used to love having fun. I was the party girl. I used to be on tables dancing and having a great time, but it didn't end there. It turned into a nightmare, and I was just constantly anxious and depressed and miserable. And I have a life that gives me happiness, real happiness and joy and serenity most of the time. I am a bit of a drama queen. That's just my natural state, and I look for fun, and I still have fun and laughs and all the other things, but I don't get out of control, and I know where my car's parked. So for anyone that's thinking about coming into AA, I didn't want the life that where my life was heading, and I knew that. So I put the effort in. I fell over a few times, but I got there in the end, and it didn't really matter about the relapses. So good on you if you've made the decision to come into the rooms. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Anna. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings throughout the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. Or you can log on, or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Now, we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.